Text Appears, a Disney Channel original movie. Inspired by the life of Justin Yoder. Miracle in Lane 2. On a sunny day in a suburban neighborhood, three teens play basketball in a driveway. A boy with dark brown hair dribbles around his two friends. He shoots and scores. Inside, trophies fill up a wall of shelves. Nearby, a boy pulls back a sheer curtain to peek at the teens in his driveway.
I guess I shouldn't complain. I mean, I have lots to be grateful for.
A truck pulls partway in, and a man in coveralls gets out.
I have a cool dad, although he's hardly ever home because he has to work two jobs, teaching college and painting houses.
A curly-haired woman paces on the phone.
No, that is not acceptable.
My mom's the greatest.
Tell me, Mr. Rifkin, how would you like your child to be treated like an outcast?
She's like a mother grizzly. You know, the kind that will maul anything that messes with her cubs.
His dad sneaks up behind her.
No, I'm still here.
As he dips her, they kiss. She pushes on his chest.
Get ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seth!
No! Justin!
No, money is no excuse.
Outside, a blonde girl eyes Seth as she dribbles.
I live in a good town with friendly neighbors.
She scores. The third kid grabs the ball and throws it.
With one major exception.
The ball hits a passing truck.
Old man Vic.
You hooligans are gonna get somebody killed!
Vic drives off.
Who lives all alone and hates kids.
Seth, come on!
Seth goes inside.
That's my brother, Seth. He's awesome at everything he does. School, sports.
Mom.
Shouldn't worry.
He holds his stomach.
Is your stomach bothering you again?
I hate funerals. Do I have to go?
Honey, everybody hates funerals. Who was your great uncle?
I never even met him.
Well, ask your father, all right?
The boy at the window sits in a wheelchair.
And this would be me. If Seth is perfect, then I'm special, which is my all-time least favorite word. It's how people say they don't expect much from a kid in a wheelchair.
Dad, are you listening?
Justin daydreams.
Dad!
A man works on a car.
Dad!
Who's there?
I thought you knew everything.
His shirt says God on the back.
I don't like being tested.
Justin Ross Yoder.
Why are you here?
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I think when you made me, you messed up.
God turns. His shirt reads, I don't make mistakes.
I don't make mistakes.
Well, somebody sure did. I mean, look at me.
Flames shoot from a car engine, and Justin winces.
You look fine.
Fine? I'm 12 years old and already had 24 major surgeries. My legs are linguine. I have more stitches in my head than a baseball.
So what do you want me to do about it?
Isn't it obvious? Fix me! Make a miracle! I mean, you still do miracles, don't you?
God knits his brow. Justin narrows his eyes.
Did anyone ever tell you you look like the famous race car driver Bobby Wade?
Yeah, I get that.
Justin?
Wait!
Justin!
Can at least have a Maserati?
Justin's daydream fades. In his room, Justin stares at a poster of Bobby Wade holding a trophy.
What are you doing?
Oh, just thinking.
She looks at the poster.
Well, Bobby Wade's gonna have to get along without you, okay? It's time to go.
Seth, I'm at my house.
Seth enters.
Where are you going?
Dad said I could stay home.
Mom, that's not fair. If Seth doesn't have to go, neither should I.
Seth plops onto his bed. At a church, Justin sits in the aisle by his parents.
So once again, we've established that life isn't fair.
We gather here today to pay tribute to the memory of Maynard Yoder. Maynard was known by many as a successful farmer, but he was much, much more. A loving husband, an attentive father, a longtime town councilman, volunteer fireman, church elder, amateur ornithologist.
Wow, Great Uncle Maynard was one amazing guy.
Stamp collector.
All those great things.
Model railroader.
Everybody crying.
Ham.
I wonder what the minister would say about me.
Furthermore,
Maynard's photo changes to Justin's.
Justin Yoder.
Justin lifts a brow expectantly.
What can I say about Justin Yoder? He was 12 years old
Justin watches people shift in their seats.
He attended Heritage Middle School. Yeah.
The minister looks over at the casket.
Did I mention he was 12 years old?
The casket opens and Justin peeks out.
Come on, there has to be something you can say. This is my moment. Give me some juice.
The Justin in the aisle nods.
Oh, yes.
Justin beams.
Justin had a wheelchair.
Behind the casket, his wheelchair rises. The two Justins grimace at the minister.
One that any handicapped access ramp would be proud of. Optional offensive wings.
The Justins shrug.
Custom chromoly frame. High-pressure clincher tires. Hard anodized push rims and a tight turning radius you just wouldn't believe. I think I speak for all of us when I say, we're gonna miss that chair.
Women dab their eyes.
Hey, what about me?
At the real funeral, everyone gawks at him. The minister frowns.
Did I say that out loud?
Justin grimaces. On another day at the Yoder's house, Seth heads inside wearing a soccer uniform. His dad wears his painting coveralls.
Guys, I'm gonna miss warm-ups. Is there something in this family's genetic code that makes us late? Dad, you're not coming to my game?
I'm sorry, Seth, I can't.
Dad, this is the conference championship.
Oh, you're not going?
I promised Newman's another place painted by graduation open house.
Mom,
have a good game, okay? I told him I had this done. I can't let him do this. What do I need to do?
Justin wheels by.
Thanks a lot, doofus.
Me? What the heck did I do?
At the game.
Go, Seth! Go! Wait him up! Go for the goal! Go to the...
Take it up!
Go to the action!
Seth kicks the ball up the muddy field. Seth scores. He raises his arms triumphantly. The players on the bench high-five Justin.
If you can't play, the next best thing is being the star's brother.
Seth's team lifts him up.
And best of all, when his team wins, he always takes me for a victory lap around the field.
Seth celebrates with his teammates.
After a little celebration with the team, of course.
Hey!
The blonde girl gives Seth a hug.
In your dreams, sweetheart. No woman ever comes between the beastly rituals of the Yoder men.
Seth walks off with her.
Seth, aren't we forgetting something? Hey, what about me?
Later in the rain.
And our final award goes to a young man who, like his father, is an outstanding athlete. It should come as no surprise then, carrying on the family dynasty, this year's most valuable player, Seth Yoder.
As Justin cheers, a man steps in front of him. Justin wheels around him.
Yeah!
Seth lifts the MVP trophy above his head. Justin frowns.
Yeah!
At night, the Yoder house sits still and quiet, a few dim lights shining from within. In the boys' bedroom, Seth rolls over in his sleep. Justin lifts his head off his pillow and props himself up on his elbow. His gaze shifts from Seth to the wall of trophies.
When you spend half your life in hospitals, you get used to the idea of death. Life?
Justin looks at a nearby empty shelf.
That I'm still working on. If just once I can know what it feels like to be the big shot, the guy everyone cheers for, the guy who gets the trophy.
The MVP trophy sits on Seth's nightstand. Morning.
All right, I'll admit, there are a couple minor problems to me winning a trophy. For starters, will I have enough time?
The boys eat breakfast.
You see, I have this thing called hydrocephalus. It makes spinal fluid build up in my head. One shunt malfunction, and unless they get me to the emergency room right away...
His mom cracks an egg and toast pops up.
Well, you get the picture.
Justin rubs his forehead.
Justin, are you all right?
Just a headache.
Headache?
Headache.
Headache!
Justin's family rushes around.
No!
Whoa!
Guys!
Seth, start the van, okay? Sure. I'll get the suitcases, honey. You can grab mine.
Got it.
Yeah.
His dad wipes shaving cream off his face.
Guys!
Did you call the hospital?
I'm on it. Do you have his medication?
Check.
No! Hold this. Wait! Mom! Just listen to me.
All right, let's
They look at Justin.
It's not that kind of headache. It's just a thinking too hard kind of headache.
His dad drops two bags and his mom puts the phone down.
I tried to tell you.
His mom grins tightly.
Right.
Outside, Seth's friend delivers newspapers as Seth and the blonde toss a baseball.
If you're in an elevator that's falling, all you have to do is jump before it hits the bottom.
Okay, so how do you know when it hits?
You time the lights.
How? If the cable breaks, there aren't going to be any lights. How?
That's the other problem with winning a trophy. How? How does a guy like me, a refugee from a family sports dynasty, do something spectacular enough to win a trophy?
Possible.
Brad? Not possible.
Yes, it is.
A paper hits a tree.
Brad.
As the pages of the paper get blown around, Seth and the blonde help Brad pick them up. A little league registration form floats into Justin's hands.
Yes! I mean, why not? Baseball players stand around a lot. Who says a kid in a wheelchair can't play baseball?
Justin daydreams. A baseball player hits a ball.
Messing with the laws of physics here.
This is amazing.
But hey, it's my fantasy.
The ball is literally frozen in midair.
Justin lifts his glove and the ball lands in it. He lifts a huge trophy.
What a trophy! Just like his dad, just like his brother!
Justin breaks from his reverie.
It's not!
It's so.
Brad, it's not!
Hey guys!
It's so.
Wait up!
Come on, guys.
But it's not! Hey!
They stop at a White House.
What's up with your neighbor?
Old man Vic. They say he kidnaps kids and chops them up in his shed.
I heard he robs graves and keeps the coffins in there.
The girl smiles.
Well, it's true. There aren't any lights in the house. Ever.
That's weird.
Justin grabs Seth, startling him.
Justin, what do you want?
Look, I get to play in your league this summer.
As what? The base?
Contractor. Did your mom have any kids that survived?
Sorry. It was just a joke.
Seth squats to face his brother.
Are you sure about this, Justin?
I've played baseball before.
That was just T-ball. And only because mom had them change the rules for you, remember? This league is different.
So?
We're talking cutthroat, out for blood, take no prisoners baseball.
And that's just the parents.
I can do it. Hey. Maybe we'll even get to be on the same team.
You'll have to play your cards right. Wait till mom and dad are real relaxed. Just follow my cue.
Yes! This is the big brother I love and admire.
Bless mom and dad and Justin, and be with all the hungry people in the world.
At dinner.
And no matter how bad off they are, let them know that they can at least be thankful they don't have to eat this slop that we're having for supper. Amen.
That's not funny. Myron, tell your son that that's not funny.
That's not funny.
What exactly is this?
It's minestrone soup. I had three houses to show this afternoon, and two of my clients were late, so I had to stop by the Quick and Go.
What's that?
Oh, it's like an eyeball.
And I have another showing at 7.
Tonight? I need the van.
I like it.
Well, what about the trunk?
Truck's still in the shop. Can't get the part till tomorrow.
More, please.
How do we get into these binds?
She spoons more soup into Justin's bowl. Seth observes the exchange and furrows his brow.
Good.
See, that's the spirit. I'm glad someone shows some appreciation.
Oh, come on. He's just sucking up because he wants to play summer league baseball.
He gives her the form.
So much for timing.
Summer league?
She hands it to Myron.
Hardball?
Better play my ace in the hole. Ma Grizzly's endangered cub. All my friends are signing up. And just because I'm stuck in a wheelchair doesn't mean I shouldn't be allowed to play like everyone else. Can I? Please?
Justin slurps more soup. He smiles.
Hear ye, hear ye.
A courtroom appears.
Yoder Family Court is now in session. The Honorable, and might I add, perfect, Seth H. Yoder presiding. Arguing against the plaintiff will be Dastardly Dad. And for the defense, Magnificent Mom.
They wear white wigs.
Begin.
For those of us who understand the nuances and intricacies of this time-honored sport, the case against the plaintiff is really quite clear.
Much as I would like my physically challenged son to participate, it's just not possible.
Objection! He did great in Pee-wee.
Overruled. Junior League is different, Mom.
Right, wrong, fair, unfair, I have nothing to do with it. You simply cannot play competitive baseball from a wheelchair. Not even if you're Jackie Robinson. Now, my esteemed adversary here will argue to the contrary, but her ignorance of the rules is legendary.
Perhaps I don't know all the dumb rules and what those referees do and why everyone's always spitting and scratching, but I do know that this has everything to do with what is right and wrong.
Objection. What I meant to...
Objection overruled.
Hey, that's my line.
Baseball is a game. It's about having fun, learning to get along. And if my son wants to play, I say that's his right.
Justin grins.
And furthermore, if this Jackie Robinson had been allowed to play in her wheelchair, she would have been great.
Seth puts his head in his hand.
The defense rests.
Case closed and batter.
I don't care if I ever get
daytime. Justin rides in the back of the family van drinking a blue slushy.
If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out of the old ball game.
Nothing can stop me now.
They face a coach.
No, absolutely not.
Except maybe this.
Why not?
What if you got hurt?
What if any of the kids get hurt?
You don't understand. Playing hardball, throwing overhand. The insurance companies already give us grief.
So, I'll sign a release form.
If something happened, we might have to shut down the whole league. It wouldn't be fair to the other kids.
Uh-oh. Once again, it's...
A bear growls.
My grizzly time.
Bear, you want to talk about fair? How about this? If Justin can't play, then neither can Seth. How's that for fair?
Seth grimaces.
Please shoot me now.
Be reasonable, Sheila. We already have a league for special children.
Justin is not special, okay? He's typical. He's, well, except for the wheelchair thing.
How's he gonna run the bases? Play the field?
Justin, tell him how you hit that touchdown in Pee Wee League.
Home run.
Hmm?
Home run.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll tell him.
He sets down his slushy.
Well, I...
The baseball coach leans in.
I...
Justin's mouth ejects blue slushy onto the coach's face. The coach painfully smiles at Sheila. She gazes at Justin with a knitted brow. Later, they drive home.
It's not the coach's fault.
He could let Justin play.
Let's face it, Mom. Justin is not typical. If he's not peeing in his pants, he's puking all over things.
Guys, I'm not dead. I can hear you.
So Justin can't always control his bladder or his gag reflexes. I mean, what does it take? A few minor adjustments.
Yeah. Like Dad missing my games to pay off all the medical bills Justin racks up.
Seth, that's enough.
I'm tired of adjusting. I don't want Justin to any more of my games. If he has the right to be typical, then I have the right to be typical.
Justin twists his lips.
Banned. First from the field, now from the stands.
He looks out of the window. In a daydream, he sits beside God in a speeding race car.
Hey, it's not the end of the world, you know!
Sure! Not for you! You live forever!
So you had a bad day. You gotta keep your chin up. Get back in the game. Never say die.
Is that the best you can do? A bunch of tired old cliches?
Most people seem to prefer that. Would you rather have the truth?
Give it a shot.
Truth is, Justin, just not cut out for baseball.
Come to think of it, I think I'll stick with the cliches.
As you wish. Hey, don't you worry. Your ship will come in. Success could be right around the corner. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
Try again.
Absolutely.
God gives him a nod. In bed, Justin wakes up.
Chess.
With Seth.
Chess? You don't even play chess.
Yes, I do. I've been practicing for almost 3 days.
For what?
Tournament at the park. Winner gets a trophy twice the size of yours.
And you think you're gonna win?
I know I'm gonna win. In fact, I guarantee it.
Seth, come on.
Rebecca, we're late. Come on,
come
let's
in,
go.
Come in.
See you later, huh?
Bye, hon.
As Myron and Seth get into the truck, Sheila carries an open house sign to the van and points a remote.
What's wrong with Seth?
A ramp unfolds.
Nothing. Why?
So where's that taking him?
To the doctor's.
I thought he went to the doctor last week.
Well, it's a weekly appointment kind of thing. I don't know. We gotta go.
At a park, the van pulls into a spot near a vintage car show.
You sure you don't want me to stay?
Mom, I'm 12.
At a pavilion, a banner reads, chess tournament today. Justin approaches a table.
Hi, I'm Justin Yoder.
Hi. We have two flights, 7 to 11 and 12 to 15. You're, what, about 10?
Sure, if it helps me win a trophy. About.
At a chessboard, Justin sits across from a young boy in glasses. He lifts his brow and smiles.
I hate to crush one so young and tender. But a guy's gotta do what a guy's gotta do.
He moves a piece.
Check.
Justin hits the clock. The boy makes a move.
Checkmate.
Justin's head droops. Outside, he passes the car show.
Beaten by an embryo. I'm such an idiot. Why did I promise Seth that I'd win a trophy?
He spots a trophy.
Wait a minute. Who's to say I didn't? Excuse me.
Can I help you, son?
What's this trophy for?
Goes to the winner of our annual car show.
Justin sees Vic standing near a shiny red car.
Is that old man Vic? What's he doing out? It's not even a full moon. Is that red car gonna win?
Vic Sauter's Corvette. Not likely. It's the best car, hands down. And he'd give anything to win. But people donate, dollar a vote. Vic specialty isn't exactly charming the crowd, you know.
Hey. Vic shoos kids away from his car.
No, but you know who would be charming? A kid in a wheelchair.
Justin grins as he rolls over to Vic, who holds a box with a slit in it.
Hello, neighbor.
What do you want?
To roll away screaming. To help you win a trophy.
Justin takes the box. People stick dollars in it.
Here you go.
Thank you.
Good luck, kid.
Thanks.
There you go, son.
Thanks for your vote.
All right, what's in it for you?
Your trophy.
That is outrageous.
Vic takes it back.
Go away. I don't need your help.
Fine. Suit yourself. 3, 2, 1.
Vic eyes the box.
He's mine.
Later.
Over here, folks. Vote for the best in the show. 58 Corvette. All original equipment in mint condition. 283 cubic inches of raw power. V8 black with counterweight crankshaft. Accelerates from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds flat.
A woman approaches.
Right over here, folks. Look for the best in the show.
Justin.
Hey, Dr. Kwan. How's Seth?
I don't know. Why do you ask?
Well, didn't he just have an appointment with you?
No, not with me.
She puts money in the box.
Nice car.
Vic raises his brows.
No appointment? That's weird. Why would Mom say he did?
Later, a photographer snaps a picture as Vic receives the trophy. Justin smirks. Now, Vic straps his car to a trailer.
If your car's so great, why don't you just drive it?
Potholes the count is too cheap to fix. Bugs that eat your paint like acid. Fool drivers on car phones when they should be keeping the dead burn eyes on the road.
Sorry I asked. So where's my trophy?
They said they'd be mailing it to me after they get it engraved.
With my name on it?
Deal's a deal.
How long will it take?
Said about a week.
I've already waited 12 years. Guess I can wait a little longer. I mean, it's not like I don't trust old man Vic.
At home, Justin peers through his bedroom window with binoculars. He watches Vic walk to his mailbox and take out a stack of envelopes. Vic shuffles through his mail. Justin deflates. A piece of yellow paper on his lap reads, Days Until Trophy. He crosses off day 5.
Only 5 days. Nothing to worry about yet.
He pushes the curtain aside again as Myron and Seth walk to the truck.
Except Seth. How many doctor appointments does that kid need?
Later, Justin snoops in his parents' room.
This calls for a little detective work.
He opens a writing desk.
An appointment. appointment slip, a bill, or a...
He finds a slingshot.
So here's where they hid that. Break a window or two and parents freak out.
He puts it back. He searches a nightstand drawer. He pulls out a red bottle.
Strawberry scented massage oil. This is a mystery I don't even want to think about.
He takes out a leather planner.
Yes.
He makes a call.
Hello? Dr. Wagner's office? Hi, I'm doing a project for school and I need to ask you some questions. Summer school. What exactly kind of doctor's office are you? I mean, why would people come there? Really? No kidding. No more questions. Looks like my big shot brother isn't so perfect after all.
At Dr. Kwan's.
Okay, so you having a good drainage day or a bad drainage day?
Good.
She smiles.
Any headaches?
Only when I do this.
He shakes his head back and forth.
Everything else normal?
Let's see. In the past week, I've barfed 3 times, had 1 bowel blunder. Yep, I'd say pretty much right on.
She gives Sheila an okay sign. In the Yoder's driveway, Seth shoots baskets. Vic pulls up in his tow truck.
Hey!
Seth turns around.
I'm looking for your brother. The kid in the wheelchair.
He's not home right now. Is there a problem?
Vic picks up a box from the passenger seat, then sets it back down. As he drives off down the road, the family's van approaches. Seth sees it pulling in and tosses the basketball aside. He leans on the van's open window as his mom unbuckles.
Hey, did you guys get the rest of these?
Yep.
Wasn't that old man Vic?
Yep.
Did he say what he wanted?
Nope.
Can you say anything but yep or nope?
Yep.
Was he holding anything?
Seth unstraps Justin's chair.
Yeah, it was a box.
Oh.
Justin, hold still. Making your straps bind up.
Was the box short and fat or long and thin?
Yep.
Short and fat?
Nope.
Yes!
Justin
rolls down the driveway.
Hey, Justin, aren't you gonna help me with these groceries?
All right, I admit, the right thing to do would be wait, be patient. But this is a public road. I mean, a kid has the right to go out for a roll. And when you're passing by, it wouldn't be right not to call on a neighbor.
Mr. Souter!
He waits outside Vic's house.
Mr. Souter!
By a set of stairs, Justin picks up a pebble and throws it at the house. He launches another one. It hits the front door frame. Frowning, Justin heads down Vic's driveway.
Mr. Souter!
He approaches Vic's open garage where the red car sits exposed.
Mr. Souter!
He enters and gazes at the shiny car. A signed Bobby Wade poster hangs on the wall.
He's a race car fan. He can't be all bad.
He scans the cluttered space. A box marked Superior Metal Products sits atop a high shelf. He starts to leave, then stops. He smiles as he glances back at the box.
Yes, trophies are made of metal.
Justin grabs a broom. Setting it across his lap, he wheels closer to the shelving unit. He holds up the broom.
Finally.
He uses the handle end to nudge the box. As he jiggles the box, the shelving unit shakes unsteadily. Justin gives the box a hard push with the broom handle and the whole shelving unit collapses. It lands on the car and a falling item pushes a lever down. A ramp underneath the car rises.
No! No! No, stop!
The car rolls backward out of the garage and smashes into a collection of trash bins and boxes. Justin wheels toward it, mouth agape.
Hear ye, hear ye!
In the courtroom.
The Yoder family court is once again in session. Prosecuting the defendant will be the distinguished and undefeated law firm of Mom and Dad.
Hey, who's gonna defend me?
No one sits in the defendant's seat.
No takers. Begin.
Is it true that on June 17th, you snuck into Victor Souter's garage, without permission.
And that you intended to steal from his garage this box containing this intake manifold?
I thought it was a trophy.
Then to cover your tracks, you trashed the garage, causing several hundred dollars worth of damage.
It was an accident.
Just what do you have to say for yourself, young man?
Help.
The jury will now read their verdict.
Seth motions to 12 differently dressed Myrons and Sheilas in a jury box.
Hey, no fair. It's supposed to be a jury of my peers, not of my parents.
We, the jury, find Justin Ross Yoder guilty as charged and sentence him to be chained in a dark dungeon, tortured on the rack, burnt at the stake, and not allowed to keep Vic's trophy.
What? No trophy?
So shall it be.
In the driveway, Vic inspects the damage.
Actually, they sentenced me to hard time working for Vic till I paid off the damages.
All right, first I want you to clean up all this garbage that you made. Put it in the dumpster behind the building.
Frankly, I would have chosen the dungeon.
Next year, fix the board on the garage and cut all the hedges. You can fix that fence over there. Then you can take this garbage out.
Justin spots a shed in the backyard.
What's in the shed?
That's privacy. You keep out.
Justin shrugs and glances at the shed in the Yoder's kitchen.
So, you see nothing wrong with the fact that our son crashed Mr. Souter's car?
No, I didn't say that. What I said was he's just a kid. Things happen.
Maybe. I guess I'm more disappointed in his mother.
What more can you do?
Yeah, I wish I knew.
So you're crazy, you know that? You know?
Oh, I'm also late.
No. Do you have to? Come on, we're all alone for once in our lives.
Oh, I wish.
He grins. She checks her watch.
But I can't. Oh, I have houses to show, bills to pay, you know.
Superwoman.
Why does that feel more like an indictment than a compliment?
No, I didn't mean that.
No, I know what you meant. I just, maybe that's the point.
You just want Justin to have everything other kids have. There's nothing wrong with that.
It could be. Maybe I'm pushing him too hard. Maybe he's just trying to live up to my expectations.
No.
Myron gives his wife a gentle kiss. As Sheila hurries out, Myron fidgets with a baseball. At night in Vic's garage, Vic grabs a rag. Justin wheels up with a trash bag on his lap.
I'm done with the garbage. Want me to clear out the shed next?
Nope. Shed is fine as it is. You're done for the day.
Vic sends a spot on the back of his car. Later in the boys' room, Justin sits up in his bed.
So what do you think's in the shed?
How should I know?
He has to be hiding something major. Why else would he be so weird about it? Maybe he is a mass murderer, and it's dead bodies hanging from hooks.
Go to sleep, Justin.
Seth rolls onto his side, facing away from him. Justin looks over at the Bobby Wade poster. He daydreams.
God, it's me again.
What now?
God uses a blowtorch.
You lose a sock? Boombox batteries go dead, or did you just sprout your first zit?
Whoa, some deity woke up on the wrong side of his bed.
Now will you try listening to an ungrateful creature complain about his hangnail while the world has run amok with war, famine, and injustice?
Maybe you should do something about those things too.
As God roasts marshmallows, he glares at Justin, who gulps.
Your marshmallow's on fire.
He sets down the blowtorch and holds up the smoking marshmallows.
In my line of work, you gotta burn one every once in a while. You know what I mean.
God takes off his safety helmet and leans back on his race car.
So what's on your mind?
I guess I always thought there was some kind of plan. Some rhyme or reason for things. You know, if I believed hard enough, things would work out.
What makes you think there's not?
What possible reason could you have for me to be stuck working at Old Man Vic's? I mean, I've defended you numerous times against a chaos theory.
Thank you.
But it's getting tougher. You've got to give me something to work with.
God lengthens the marshmallow skewer and offers it to Justin.
Marshmallow?
In the boys' room, an alarm clock shows 5:30. Justin grabs it and checks the time. He slams it down on the bed. Later, Vic brings milk and a plate to Justin, who hammers a nail into the side of the garage.
It's a hot day. Thought you could use a snack.
Thanks.
Justin sets down his hammer. Vic brings over a small wooden box and sets the plate of cookies and the milk on it. Justin lifts a cookie and tries to take a bite.
They might could use a little soaking. I had them sitting around a spell.
Spell? How do you spell petrify?
You're a hard worker.
Vic sits on another box.
I thought you'd be full of excuses. I guess it's not easy being stuck in that wheelchair all day.
I don't know. What's it like walking?
What's wrong with you? Cerebral palsy? I knew a kid like that one time.
Spina bifida.
Spina bifida. That's some kind of disease?
Birth defect. It's a spinal cord thing. My nerves won't work my legs, and the water won't drain up my brain. You see, I have a plastic shunt on my head. And if it doesn't drain, it's adios, sayonara, cash in your chocolate chips.
That don't scare you?
I take an existential point of view that life and death are just arbitrary states of being.
Vic tilts his head.
You put me on, right?
I memorized that once, because I get asked so often.
That's a good one. You quite a kid.
Justin beams.
I got some errands to run. Now, can I trust you to handle things here by yourself for a while?
Sure.
All right.
As Vic walks away, Justin rolls back to the garage wall, grabs the hammer, and continues pounding the nail. Later in the yard, Justin clips an overgrown bush with gardening shears. He peeks over his shoulder at the shed. Thoughtfully biting his lip, Justin drops the shears. He wheels toward the shed. At a window, he wipes out a dusty film covering the glass with his gloved hand and clears a small spot. He peeps inside to see a shelf of trophies covered in dust and cobwebs. Little cars top most of them. Looking away, Justin grins.
The mother load.
Justin opens the door to the shed and rolls inside. He shuts the door behind him. He crosses to the shelf of trophies and focuses on one. Words engraved on it read, Soapbox Derby, first place, Rebecca Souter.
Soapbox Derby.
Justin notices framed photos behind the trophies. In one, a young girl with short hair sits on Vic's shoulder. She points her finger up on one hand and holds a trophy in the other. Vic beams. Justin scoots back and puts his hand on a pink soapbox racer. In another photo, a dark-haired woman smiles with young Rebecca. Justin notices a white sheet hanging on a clothesline by a wall. He moves to an old projector surrounded by round tin film canisters. Justin flips it on. A flickering light shines toward the sheet. Justin's gaze follows it. He watches a home movie of the little girl waving. Vic picks her up and settles her into the pink soapbox car. She and her opponent wait on a ramp with posts keeping them in place. The posts lower, and the racers speed down a track with Rebecca in the lead. She crosses the finish line. She raises a trophy, and Vic yells, "We're number one." Justin stares wide-eyed. A figure approaches the door behind him. Vic opens the door.
Get out!
Justin turns his head. He shuts off the projector.
I warned you to stay away. I want you off my property.
But I was just...
No!
Justin's shoulders slump. Later, in the Yoder's kitchen, Justin pushes around the food on his plate as his family chats.
I just had to walk away. That's how I got home. I don't know.
I've got an idea.
His mom, dad, and Seth focus on him.
How about we take turns telling each other about our days?
Oh, what a great idea.
Yeah. Mom, didn't you just show some houses?
I was thinking about more unusual things.
Dad, didn't your college department just get a research grant? Something about using fruit flies for genetic coding?
Yeah, but it's kind of technical.
technical is good. And don't leave out any details.
Well, the genetic code is quite complicated.
I want to race soapbox derbies.
They all stare.
So much for subtlety. It's the coolest thing in the universe. And it's finally something I can do, no problem. And if you say yes, I promise I'll never ask you for anything ever again.
Justin folds his hands and wears a pleading grimace. Sheila looks to Myron.
Sure, why not?
Really? Well, we have to first check it out to make sure it's safe, but...
No family court, no third degree. Parents, just when you think you have them pegged.
Where did you get the soapbox derby idea anyway?
Vic, sort of.
That's great. Vic can show us the ropes.
Sure, or we can figure out the ropes on our own.
Why? We're busy. And Vic could stand some human contact. We could kill two birds with one stone.
Kill, being the operative word.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Justin, you can race the dishes in. And Seth, you can wash and dry.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm in the mood for?
What's that?
Strawberries.
Perfect.
They saunter off.
Why would they keep strawberries in the bedroom?
Believe me, you don't want to know.
In the boys' room, Seth twists off a bottle top and drinks.
Doesn't that stuff taste nasty?
Oh, it's all right.
How come you keep getting stomach aches?
Justin pulls his legs onto his bed.
I don't know. Pressure.
Pressure? What pressure? It's summer. You're 14 years old.
I don't know. Things like baseball.
Really? Playing baseball stresses you out?
No, Justin, not baseball. Things like it.
Like what kind of things?
Like none of your business things.
Seth turns off a bedside lamp. Justin flops down and turns off his lamp. Daytime. Sheila pulls cookies from an oven. Justin arrives in a short sleeve button down and khakis.
Is that what you're wearing to work?
Dress for success. Can I bring some of these over to Vic?
Well, sure. About this soap thing.
Soapbox.
Hmm?
Soapbox.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to, you know. I mean, I'm okay either way. You know.
Justin leaves.
Justin.
In Vic's driveway, Vic works on the car's taillight. Justin approaches.
What do you want?
To apologize. I'm sorry for sneaking in your shed. I had no right.
Justin holds out an open cookie tin. Vic waves it away.
What's done is done.
Justin looks down and closes the tin.
Is something else?
I want you to teach me about soapbox racing.
No.
Why not?
Why should I?
Because you're the only one that can. And because this might be the only chance I ever have to be good at something.
You don't know what you're asking.
All I'm asking is for you to help me get started. Will you?
I'll think about it. And that's the best I can do. Go on home.
He starts to go.
Hey. You can leave the cookies.
Justin hands them to Vic with a grin. Justin heads down the driveway. On another day.
Yes. On your marks, get set, go!
On a blocked-off street, Vic, Seth, Myron, and Justin watch a soapbox derby.
That's it?
This is just a practice run, but you can get the gist.
No, I mean, that's all you have to do? Sit in a pretend car and roll down a hill?
You have to steer.
Yeah, well, so does a kid in a tricycle. At least he's pedaling. Soapbox derby isn't a sport, it's gravity.
Shut up, Seth.
Come on, let's check out the pits.
I mean, who do they put on the poster? Sir Isaac Newton.
Dad, tell Seth he's not funny.
Seth, you're not funny. So what makes this competitive?
Well, the steering, for one. Every tiny square creates friction, which wastes precious time. The best drivers learn to check the bumps and rolls in a road, just like a golfing green.
Why are they weighing the cars?
Keep things fair. Total weight of the car plus driver must be exactly the same thing. How much do you weigh?
72 pounds.
It's not good for football, but it's an advantage for a soapbox derby driver.
Why?
Well, each car and driver must weigh exactly 250 pounds. Typical car weighs 80 pounds. Add his 70, gives you about 100 pounds of ballast to play around with.
Play around with?
Yeah, where you place the metal weights in these cars can help shave off a couple of hundredths of a second.
Yeah, but how much difference could it make?
Well, a lot when the average margin of victory is less than a tenth of a second.
They look at racers on platforms.
These are the tricks you learn as you go along. You know, some people swear that a black nose cone will help make the car go faster.
Seth peers at one.
Looking at somebody else's car is a definite no-no. Hmm?
You know, I'd like to check out...
Justin wheels over to a girl his age with dirty blonde hair. She polishes her flame-decaled racer.
Nice car. I'm not allowed to talk to the other drivers.
I'm not a driver.
She glances at him.
I guess not. Well, at least not yet. But I'm gonna be. Really. Good luck.
Thanks. So, do you have any special advice, you know, on how to win?
Yeah. Don't get matched up against me.
He gives a crooked smile. Vic, Seth, and Myron watch a kid spin the wheels on his racer.
What's with that?
They're keeping the ball bearings warm by spinning the wheels. Saves a millisecond in time. Some races allow it, some don't.
Heat 12, drivers, are you ready?
Can we go check out the finish line?
Yeah,
I'll walk him down.
What a bunch of losers, huh, Dad?
This is great, we're gonna have fun.
Dad.
Myron playfully puts Seth in a headlock at the finish line.
Whoa! This is so cool! What do we do next?
What do you mean, we? You.
But...
Hey, I kept my promise. I got you started.
I don't just want to start. I want to win. I have to win.
I can't do this. Not again.
Why?
It's personal.
This has something to do with your daughter, right? That was her racer in the shed.
That's none of your business.
Why? Why can't you just tell me?
I can't because I can't. Look, kid, I'm telling you the way life is. I won't help you because I can't. Will you just go on and let me be, please? Let me be.
Justin watches Vic walk away. In the Yoder's garage, Myron reads instructions.
C1, there's supposed to be four of them.
No, but what is C1?
It's a lock nut.
What do you need a lock nut for?
Later on, Myron and Justin build a wooden substructure.
I won't lie to you. Building a racer isn't easy.
On another night, Myron sands.
It's sort of a cross between the Manhattan Project, the Three Stooges, and the Titanic.
He slips and knocks the racer's frame over. In the shed, Vic watches an old home movie, tears dampen his cheeks. Rebecca holds a trophy up with a smile. She and the dark-haired woman wave to the camera. The woman kisses Rebecca's cheek and side hugs her. The two beam. Vic weeps. He wipes away his tears. Daytime, in the Yoder's garage, Myron and Justin make adjustments for the steering wheel.
Right. Turn left. Turn right. Turn left.
Vic approaches.
It works. What's next?
The rear axle. I just returning your cookie tin.
You can stay if you want to.
Yeah, we could use your help.
No, I can't. I got things to do.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Rear axle. This time you drill, okay?
Okay.
Hey, what you doing? You can't drill holes till you check for square.
But the instructions didn't say that.
The instructions for slackers are wannabes. If you don't square the axle, your car will be in a constant bind. You find yourself looking at your opponent's backside.
Seth rides up on his bike.
Yeah.
Vic gives Myron the cookie tin and grabs a measuring tool off the wall.
Let me show you how now.
As Vic lines up the measuring square, Myron and Justin share a smile.
Hey.
Seth backs away and heads inside. As Seth trudges into the kitchen, Sheila takes a loaf of bread from the oven. She watches Seth grab some peanut butter and angrily shut the cabinet.
Care to talk about it?
Suddenly Dad can postpone all his painting jobs? It stinks, Mom.
Honey, you've been winning championships forever. Baseball, basketball, soccer. And this is your brother's opportunity to shine.
What if he doesn't win?
We don't expect Justin to win. Just to have fun. You can understand that, can't you?
Seth nods curtly. In the Yoder's study, Myron sits at a desk and makes notes on the racer plans. Seth approaches in a baseball uniform.
What, not working on the racer?
Actually, I am.
Oh.
But maybe you can help me with this. Since Justin can't use the standard foot brake to stop this thing, I have to figure out a way for him to stop his car. Any ideas?
Dynamite?
That could work. It might be a little messy, though.
Dad, you don't have to work tonight, right?
Right.
So you're coming to my game, no problem?
No problem.
Seth grabs the plans.
Dad, this is big. Both teams are undefeated, and I'm pitching. I really want you to come.
I promise I'll be there, okay? I promise.
Johnson's are here. You guys ready to go?
You take the boys. I'll bring the van, okay?
Seth shares a look with Sheila.
Honey.
Look, if I don't figure out this brake thing, Justin's gonna miss his first race. He's counting on me.
Well, so is Seth.
Okay, I'll be there. Scout's honor, okay?
Huh? She nods and leaves. At the nighttime game, Seth bats.
Go, Seth! Chuck it out of here! Hit a big one! Make it a rounder!
Go, Seth!
Sheila uses a camcorder.
Mom, it's just batting practice. Saves him for the game.
Can't. Yelling for two.
Shoot it all the way! Tied up! Fence it!
Justin puts his face in his hands. At the Yoders, Myron hustles to the van. He starts the car and pushes down the handbrake. He slowly pulls it back up.
That's it.
At the game, Seth pitches. He strikes out three players. Seth scans the cheering crowd. He sees the empty seat next to his mom. He walks off the field, eyes downcast. In the Yoder's garage, Myron tightens a brake lever.
That should be tight enough.
Vic holds it in place.
That'll work.
Myron toys with the lever.
I dub thee the Justin brake.
Vic swats him. Myron attempts a hug.
No, just high five.
Yeah.
That's a home run.
Myron checks his watch. He puts his hands on his head.
What?
Myron mimes a baseball swing as he walks out. At the empty baseball field, Myron pulls up in the van. The floodlights switch off. He closes his eyes and runs his hand down his face. Back at the house, Myron slowly comes through the front door. Sheila sits in the living room reading a book. He comes up behind her and leans over her chair.
Where's Seth?
Garage.
You think I should go out there?
I think you should explain why you missed another one of his games, because God knows I can't. By the way, he pitched a no-hitter.
She strides out. Myron puts his hands in his pockets. Later, he heads outside through a back door. He walks to the garage, stops short, and averts his eyes. He goes in. Seth looks over the plans on the work desk.
Congratulations.
Seth shakes his head. He looks away from Myron. Myron steps closer. Seth shifts his body, avoiding eye contact.
You know, I don't know what would be harder. Being a kid in a wheelchair or being that kid's brother.
Seth tenses his jaw.
You know, when, your mom and I got married, I had this dream that I would have a family that did all the things that I loved to do when I was a child. Playing ball, riding bikes, hike down to the Grand Canyon. But everything changed the day Justin was born.
Seth blinks with a furrowed brow.
Well, not everything. I still want to be the greatest dad in the whole universe, but it was all new territory to me. And when it came to sports, I don't know.
Myron fidgets with a baseball cap.
Something deep inside of me said that if I couldn't cheer for both of my sons, I shouldn't cheer for either.
Myron squeezes Seth's shoulder. Seth moves away and snatches the baseball cap off the table.
So basically, it all comes down to the same old thing. You missed my games because of Justin.
Myron looks down. Seth plods into the house. Myron rubs his head. Daytime. On the neighborhood street, Myron pushes the white racer with Justin inside. Justin wears a helmet. Vic uses a walkie-talkie. Down the street, Sheila holds another one.
All clear?
Ready, Justin?
Justin gives a thumbs up.
Let's do it.
Myron pushes and pulls the racer back and forth a few times.
One. Two. Go get him, kid! Ah!
Justin's racer trundles toward his mom.
All right. No, no, it's okay. Turn it. Don't charge me, Craig.
I'm trying.
Myron runs alongside him.
No, the other way, the other way.
I'm trying. Oh,
Justin swerves back and forth.
Don't do it. Stop it!
Myron dives and misses him.
Justin!
He hurtles toward a curb.
Justin! Ah!
He hits a mailbox.
No!
He slams into a tree.
Justin!
As Justin slumps, his parents rush to his side. Vic runs toward them. Myron carries Justin to his wheelchair.
Oh, can a kid who's spent his entire life in a wheelchair not be able to steer?
Myron, he feels bad enough.
Vic inspects the car.
No wonder he can't steer. Harness wires got crossed.
Myron takes a look.
So you turn the steering wheel to the left, the wheels go right.
How could that be?
Justin scowls. Later, he wheels himself up the driveway.
You did it!
Seth turns to him.
Did what?
Messed up the steering on my racer!
I didn't touch your stupid racer, Justin.
Yes, you did! You made me wreck!
You wrecked. It was your own fault.
Yeah, Justin, why would he mess up your racer? Because he's jealous that Dad helped me build it.
Oh, that is such a crock.
You're afraid I'll win.
You couldn't win if you wanted.
Says who?
Everybody. Mom and Dad are only going along because they feel sorry for you.
Yeah? I may be crippled. At least I'm not crazy.
I'm not crazy.
No? Then how can we see a shrink?
Seth's friends look at him.
That's right. My brother, the big shot, nuts,
up,
cuckoo,
don't
completely
do this, Justin.
Wacko.
Seth grabs him.
Go on, big shot, hit me.
Just once. I wish I could beat you up like a regular brother. But I can't because you're special.
Am not.
Because of you, we can't go on vacations like real families. Because of you, we're always broke.
Shut up.
You want to know why I go to therapy, Justin? It's because I'm sick of all the hassle. And I'm sick of you.
So get a lobotomy.
I hate you! I wish you were dead!
Seth lumbers inside.
Seth!
All right. So Seth is never gonna speak to me again. At least there's somebody I can talk to.
God! Hello?
At the racetrack.
God! Where are you? It's in your job description. You have to talk to me. God! God!
Justin looks around beside the open hood of God's race car. Fade to black. Now at a derby, a banner reads, South Bend Local.
I feel even worse about what I said to Seth. How was I supposed to know Dad crossed the harness wires by accident?
Waiting in his racer, Justin looks to his opponent.
Nothing like being wrong to shake a guy's confidence. Oh, man.
He looks forward with wide eyes.
I love you. We love you. Okay.
Vic leans in.
Come on now. Focus. All right, now, this is not a disco, so don't be moving in there and dance.
Get set. Go!
They release the racers.
Park! Park! Park!
This is horrible. I'm gonna crash. What was I thinking?
He lags behind his opponent.
Come on,
right. Hey, nice correction. Maybe I'll make it after all. I'm gonna finish!
His opponent crosses the finish line first. As Justin finishes, Myron celebrates.
I did it!
Myron hugs Justin.
I did it! I finished! I actually finished the race!
Here's your money!
Yeah.
Sheila grabs Vic's arm.
Boy, you're fantastic!
Seth rolls his eyes. On a rainy day, the van passes under a Muncie Invitational banner. Justin speeds down a road in his racer, trailing his opponent. Words on its side read, Goshen, Indiana. On a sunny day, Justin passes a finish line that reads Saginaw right after another racer. In Omaha, Justin finishes just behind his opponent. Among the cheering crowd, Seth reads a book. At a derby, Justin focuses as he starts the race. In the stands, Vic mouths, "Come on, come on." At another race, Justin wears a set expression as Vic shows him how to crouch in the racer. He pats Justin's helmet. Justin just barely loses. On a bracket board, a Jay Yoder racer sits at fourth place. At another derby, Myron and Justin pose for a picture. Sheila pulls Seth over. On an overcast day from the stands, Vic and Sheila watch Justin race. He gains speed, now neck and neck with the other racer. Sheila roots for him as she videotapes his progress. He passes the finish line just before his competitor. Justin raises his arms triumphantly. Vic beams. Myron pumps his fists. At dawn, Vic and Justin sign into a derby.
Try again turned out to be pretty good advice after all. But even though I'm getting better, I still don't have a trophy. This is the last race of the season. One last chance. And I really need everything to go right.
All right.
His parents lift his racer to a platform.
This is it. I can feel it. You realize if we win today that we qualify for the Nationals in Akron, don't you?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's really great that you're into this soapbox thing.
They put the wheels on.
What, do I hear a butt coming?
But I think your expectations might be too high.
This would be great. Vic has showed me a better way to place the weights.
Whoa. Reality check. Justin is the one racing, not you.
I know. I'm just excited for him, that's all.
Even if he loses?
He won't.
But what if he does?
It's not a big deal. It's just his first year.
And I don't want it to be his last. This could be a very good thing for Justin. Or it could be very bad.
I'll behave, I promise, okay?
He gives Sheila a kiss. She grins. Later that day, Vic and Myron help Justin in his racer.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tri-State Regional Soapbox Derby Final.
This is it. I'm in the finals. And in total, absolute agony.
Justin scrunches up his face and rubs his brow.
One way I deal with pain is to focus my mind on something else. Trophy, trophy, trophy.
That's it. Stay focused. Trophy. You can do it.
Are you all right?
Yes, except for the fact that my brain's about to explode. Yeah, I'm fine.
Myron pats Justin's helmet.
Goshen, Indiana. I'm sure we're going to see an awful lot more of Justin Yoder.
Justin looks up and faintly waves. He squeezes his eyes shut.
Racers, are you ready?
Trophy. Trophy.
The boy racing him glances over. Justin meets his gaze, then looks forward. Justin leans down and the racers take off. From the stands, Sheila records him. He advances a little ahead of the other racer.
Stay low.
Justin squints as his vision blurs.
Something's wrong.
Justin passes out and veers in front of the other racer. He flies past the finish line, jumps the curb, and spins out. As he crashes, his body hangs motionless over the racer.
No!
His family and Vic run to him.
Excuse me.
Please remain in the stands and behind the barrier.
Excuse me, that's my brother.
Sheila holds his limp body.
Look out! Move! It's my son! Is he okay?
Justin?
Call an ambulance.
Vic nods.
Justin.
Buddy?
At a hospital, paramedics and nurses cart Justin in. In Justin's unconscious state, God appears. In the hallway, Myron and Sheila hold hands. Myron takes a deep breath. Vic sits with his fingers interlaced.
What could be taking so long?
I don't know.
Seth furrows his brows with his hands in prayer. Dr. Kwan approaches.
There she is.
They rush to her.
How is he?
They drained the fluid. He's stable, but his shunt has to be replaced again.
He's gonna be all right, though.
He got here just in time.
Seth listens intently.
What I can't figure out is how, after all these operations, Justin could ignore the signs that his shunt was malfunctioning.
Sheila looks back at Myron. Seth shares a look with Vic. Fade to white. Lying in a hospital bed, Justin awakens in a daydream. God stands in the room. As the daydream dissipates, the man remains in the room.
Hello, Justin.
So this is it. I bit the bullet. Went to the big derby in the sky. God?
No. Well, let's see, they call Richard Petty the king, and Unser Sr. is Big Al. Earnhardt's the intimidator, but me? Most folks just call me Bobby.
Bobby? Wade? It's really you? Then this isn't heaven.
Nope. No, although I do think the TV has a video game hookup.
How did you know my name?
Well, Vic Sauter gave me a call.
You know Vic?
Oh, yeah, ace mechanic. He worked on my race car once upon a time.
No kidding. Mine, too.
Oh, yeah? Say.
Bobby glances over his shoulder.
You think I could ask you something? Driver to driver?
Shoot.
Well, you see, lately I've been having trouble on the straightaways. Vic says you're a natural, so you got any tips?
Well, the main thing is you really have to focus.
Focus, huh?
Bobby picks up a metal bedpan.
You mean,
He clutches it like a steering wheel.
Like this?
No, you're gripping too hard. It's more like shaking hands. Like you and the car are best friends.
Ah.
Yeah. That's much better. Now, I have a couple questions for you.
Go ahead.
At home.
Hello, you've reached the Yoders. Please leave a message at the sound of the beep.
Hello, this is Randall Gray from the All-American Soapbox Derby Association.
Seth grabs the phone.
Yoder residence.
Is this Justin?
No, this is his older brother. Can I help you?
Well, yes, maybe you could deliver a message to your brother for me.
In the hospital room, Justin plays a racing video game. His parents arrive.
Hey, my man. You awake?
No big deal. Operation number 25.
Sheila kisses him.
Mom. So what's the news?
Well, the doctor says you're good as new. Maybe even better.
I meant the race. Did I win?
You had him for the first 943 feet.
I guess there's next year.
Yeah, well, if we're going to race again, we have to have a couple rules. First being safety. From now on, if your head hurts, you have to come tell us. Is that a deal?
Deal.
And if you do race, it's because it's something you want to do. Your mom and I are going to be proud of you no matter what.
Right. Racing is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I was so close. And with the tips Bobby Wade gave me, I'd be a lock.
Justin focuses on his game.
Bobby Wade gave you tips?
Yeah, he was just here.
See, this is what worries me. You know, you haven't been yourself since this whole thing started. You've been sneaking around, telling stories.
Really? He was just here. He even took my bedpan for good luck.
Your bedpan?
Which reminds me. Could you call the nurse?
At the Yoders, Myron carries in luggage. Seth greets his family.
Hey, bro, welcome.
Hey. Anything happen while we were gone?
Nope.
No messages, huh? The climbers were supposed to let me know if I start in the house this week.
No.
Myron taps the answering machine.
Hello. This is Randall.
Seth quickly shuts it off.
That's nothing. They just called to wish Justin well.
Well, let's let him hear it.
Seth blocks his hand from playing it.
The kid who beat Justin had to drop out. They want Justin to take his place.
Yes!
You mean I'm going to Nationals?
Sheila high-fives Justin. Myron dances.
Yes, you're going, buddy. You're going.
I can't believe you guys are going to let him race again.
Why not?
What are you, dense?
Look, Seth, I've been really patient with you the last 2 weeks.
Oh, great. Another stinking lecture.
He stomps off.
I'll handle this.
Justin knits his brow. In the boys' room, Myron busts in.
Seth, what's going on?
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, I do. This family has a problem. We work things out.
Sitting on the edge of his bed, Seth keeps his gaze averted.
Why can't you let Justin have this one thing? Why do you have to be so selfish?
Fine, then let him crash again.
Myron steps closer.
Okay, look. It was a one-time accident. The doctor says he's gonna be okay.
Am I the only one who cares? Who's afraid he's gonna die?
Myron's shoulders droop. Seth wipes his eyes. Myron sits down next to him.
We all care. Okay, that's why
we want Justin to get to do what other kids get to do.
We'd never let him do anything that was that dangerous. You know that.
With Justin, everything is dangerous. He was a baby. I couldn't even hold him because it wasn't safe. Now every time he goes to the hospital, I don't know if he's ever coming back.
Seth's face crumples with emotion. Myron glances at his son and shakes his head. As Seth sobs, Myron rubs his back, then pulls him into a hug. Now in the early morning, Myron and Seth load up the racer. Justin and Sheila approach.
Hey, where's Vic?
He's late.
How about that? We're the ones on time.
Justin gapes.
Whoa, check it out.
Vic pulls up in his fixed up car.
I figured every convoy needs a pace car.
Later, on a freeway, a woman in a convertible waves at Vic and Justin in the car. Justin waves.
Hey.
She smiles and drives off.
I should have done this a long time ago.
What happened to the potholes?
Well, I guess you showed me a way around. You were right about the shed. That racer belonged to my daughter, Becca, before she died.
What happened to her?
Swimming accident. Week before nationals. My wife died a year later. Doctors said it was this and that, but I knew it was a broken heart. I wanted to die, but I just didn't have the courage. Just crawled up into a ball and forgot to care. I was doing pretty good, too, till you come busting into my garage.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, it was the best thing that could have happened to me.
Really?
Yeah, got to know you, see what you go through, how you just keep going. You got me and my car back up and on the road again. So potholes, bird, doo-doo. We ready for anything.
They speed ahead of the van which hauls the racer behind it. A sign reads, Akron, 36 miles. At the All-American Soapbox Derby, the car and van pull up. RVs park along the side of the crowded street. People walk among the cars carrying coolers and chairs.
Whoa! This is so amazing!
Yeah, it sure is.
Justin points at a man with a buzz cut.
Who's that?
It's Bill Goodman, 3-time national champion. He's got a kid in this race. The odds against us just went up.
Darn.
Bill eyes them as they drive past. At a parking area, Myron unveils a purple racer that says, just in time, on its side.
Ta-da! New paint job, huh?
Oh, and I got these for everyone.
Sheila holds up a green shirt that says, just in time.
That is so cool. I'm so pumped.
Pumped is good. Realistic is better.
What? You don't think I can win?
We're just going up against some veteran drivers. Most of them backed by big money.
I have to win. I just have to. That would be so amazing.
You already are amazing.
Justin Yoder, you're up for your practice run in 10 minutes. Remember, you only get one trial heat, so make it count.
In his trial run, Justin zips down the road past a cheering crowd. Vic and Myron stand in their green shirts at the finish line as he passes him. In the stands, Seth records as he and Sheila jump up. The timer shows 28:05.
Fastest time today.
Go get your BVDs in a bunch. It's only a trial run.
Hey.
As they walk off, Bill eyes them.
Who's the rookie?
Justin Yoder.
The girl with dirty blonde hair wears a Guntman t-shirt.
This kid's a cripple.
He's physically challenged.
Yeah? If he drives like that tomorrow, you're the one who's going to be challenged. Come on.
Myron pulls Justin out of his racer.
Competition's unbelievable. We're going to win this thing. We're going to need an edge.
What do you have in mind?
You in the mood for some golf?
Golf?
Bill waits for Justin, Vic, and Myron to depart. He tugs his daughter to Justin's racer. He squats down by it.
Dad, what are you doing?
I didn't blow 20 grand on wind tunnel testing to come in second.
He inspects the inside. She furrows her brow.
Interesting. Very interesting.
At night, Vic walks to Sheila.
Alpha group to the Omegas. Do you read me?
Copy that.
What's your status?
We're ready. Let them rip.
She and Vic nod at each other. They squat.
Ready? 1, 2, 3.
They dump golf balls onto the road. Myron and Justin watch at the finish line.
Lane 2 looks faster.
If you make adjustments, you see how lane 1 kind of slopes into the halfway point there.
Justin smiles.
Nothing can stop us now.
Myron pushes Justin away from the incoming balls. In the morning, Justin and Seth watch TV in a hotel room.
So, Bobby, just between you and me, do you have any special strategy for the big race?
Well, now, most of that's a secret, but that is one thing I'm willing to share.
Hey, look, Justin, he's going to use the advice you gave him.
I did. I gave him a tip.
Learn this from a fellow driver.
Bobby holds the bedpan.
Don't over-grip your steering wheel. Just shake hands with it, you know, like it's your best friend.
See? That's my tip.
Right.
Really? And who was this driver?
See?
Milk spills from Seth's lips.
Matter of fact, he's got a big race today. Good luck there, Justin.
Justin beams. Myron enters the door. A derby official stands on the other side.
Hi, Mr. Yoder.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Good.
Can I talk to you just a minute?
Yeah, sure.
It's been brought to our attention that your car is equipped with a handbrake.
That's right.
Well, rules specify that only foot brakes may be used.
But our son is paralyzed from the waist down. He has to use a handbrake.
Yes, I'm aware of that. But we have strict regulations on car design.
So what are you saying? That after all he's been through, he can't race?
Well, the rules committee is prepared to give the matter special consideration, but it's only fair to warn you. The odds aren't good.
Outside, Vic and Sheila walk to the van.
Don't let him get away with it then.
That's why we need you there.
Where's Seth?
Well, his stomach is bothering him, so I told him he could stay.
Justin!
In the hotel room, Justin approaches Seth.
Happy now? All I wanted was just once to know what it feels like to be like you.
Justin leaves. Seth gazes after him. In a tent, Justin, his parents, and Vic sit in front of a committee made up of derby officials.
We have to be fair to the other racers who worked hard and followed all the rules to get here.
Racers don't use their brakes until after they cross the finish line. I mean, foot brake, handbrake, what's the difference?
Offers absolutely no competitive advantage.
What's at stake here is a principle. If we allow this change, we're opening ourselves to anything and everything.
And anyone? There is a principle at stake here. Unless you allow this change, children with disabilities like our son can't possibly compete.
I think we've heard all the arguments pro and con. Members of the committee, are you prepared to vote? All right, then. All those opposed?
Excuse me.
Seth enters.
I'm sorry, young man. You'll have to wait outside.
Hey, it appears the man has something to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I read your brochure. It says that the number one priority of the Soapbox Derby is education.
Yes, that's true.
Last year in school, my class studied access to the media.
So?
So, for the last 2 hours, I've been calling every TV, newspaper, and radio station within 50 miles. Everyone come in.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, stay outside. We're in a closed session here.
I'm sick of seeing my brother treated like a second-class citizen. Sick of seeing him stuck on the sidelines. Our class also learned that life should be a level playing field, even when it's a racetrack that runs downhill. The way I see it, you got two choices. You could say you're denying a kid in a wheelchair his right to compete, or that you're taking a stand for the values our society was built on. Freedom and equality of opportunity for all.
Seth grins as reporters stand behind him with cameras.
So what's it gonna be?
Justin looks to the committee.
Whatever happened to our disintegrating school system?
Later, at the starting line.
Who racers take your position?
Myron closes the racer's hood down on Justin so that only his head peeks out.
You ready, buddy?
Yeah.
Clear the starting gate.
On your mark. Set. Go. And they're off.
Justin and the yellow racer accelerate down the road. Justin trails behind. Myron puts his hand over his mouth. Justin advances past the yellow racer. Myron mimes turning a wheel to the side. The yellow racer tails Justin. Sheila jumps up and down.
Come on! Come on, Justin! Go, 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 go!
Seth videotapes Justin as he finishes first. Justin sticks his tongue out as he opens the hood. Sheila and Vic high-five him.
And the winner is Justin Yoder in lane one with a heat differential of 0.05 seconds.
All right. One down, 23 to go.
And they're off.
In a lot, kids tend to their racers. Justin wins a race. Seth records Justin as he speeds to another victory with a 28.05 time. A man updates the derby bracket with Justin and Bill's daughter advancing. People applaud in the stands. Seth watches through the camcorder, recording Justin side by side with his opponent.
No, wait, he's gonna catch him. It's over. Finished.
Justin pulls ahead at the end.
And again, the winner is Justin Yoder!
Seth records the official moving Justin's name on the bracket.
23 down. And the competition is fading faster than the smile on the opponent's face.
That thing away from me.
Hey!
Bill shoves the camera. By a table, Sheila adds whipped cream to pie as Myron and Justin spray each other.
While the combatants are distracted, the camera crew will help himself to some peach pie.
Vic and the family spray whipped cream at the camcorder. Bill's daughter writes down another racer's time of 28.01. Seth records Justin gazing at Bill's daughter.
What's this?
She meets his gaze. Justin blinks.
Has the man cub discovered fire?
On the bracket, Guntman moves up. Justin wins again. Seth lifts his arms.
Yes! Yes! Woo-hoo! Going to the final! Where are we?
National!
What are we here for?
The National!
All right, show me your t-shirts.
They turn around. Vix says mechanic, and Justin says driver.
Oh, yeah.
Check out this one.
Oh, yeah.
Sheila says coach.
Gotcha. What are we gonna do?
We're gonna win!
We came to win.
The bracket shows Yoder and Guntman in the final heat.
Hey, remember me?
Yeah, you're pretty awesome for a rookie.
Thanks. You are too. I mean, awesome, not a rookie.
She grins and shakes her head.
Want a cookie?
No, thanks. I'm watching my weight.
Why? You're not fat.
So I don't mess up the weight distribution in my car?
Teresa.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, let's go. We got a championship to win. Remember, this is everything we've been working for.
Bill pulls her away.
To the finals of the 60-second running of the All-American Soapbox Derby. In lane one, out of Schenectady, New York, the defending champion running in her third nationals, Teresa Guntman.
She waves to the crowd.
And in lane two, here for the first time, representing rally district number 9, from Goshen, Indiana, Justin Yoder.
He beams from his racer.
You're gonna be eating dust, loser.
Myron puts down his hood.
Please clear the track for the final race.
Teresa sits back in her racer. Seth rushes up.
There's something I gotta tell you before you go. You know, in case you flame out at the bottom and I never get to talk to you again.
Yeah?
You always thought I was good at stuff. But you're the most amazing person I know.
Justin's eyes widen.
All the pain you have to put up with, all the surgeries, and you never complain. Me, I get a paper cut and I freak out.
Clear the starting area.
Win or lose, you're my hero. Got that?
Racers, take your positions.
Seth taps his head against Justin's helmet.
Clear the starting gate.
The lead shifts between Justin and Teresa. Myron and Seth gawk.
Stay in your line.
When I run a good race, all I see is the track. All I hear is the wind against my helmet. But now, Seth's words keep replaying in my mind.
But you're the most amazing person I know. Win or lose, you're my hero.
With praise like that, who needs a stupid trophy?
Vic and Sheila root for him.
You're gonna be eating dust, loser. Then again, I do have that empty shell.
Teresa glances at him as he starts to take the lead. Myron mouths, go, go, go. Justin remains in a tight lead with Teresa riding at his side. Bill gapes and Sheila springs up. Myron whoops and Seth mouths, come on. They speed toward the finish line. Justin crosses first. His eyes grow wide. Myron leaps in the air. Seth lifts up his fists. Bill's eyes rove around in disbelief. Vic and Sheila jump up and down. Justin breaks. He takes off his helmet and raises it up. People surround him. Sheila hugs Vic. Seth spins around on Myron's back. Myron shakes Bill's hand. Bill stares, mouth agape. On the bracket, Justin is placed on a star. On a platform by his racer, Justin sits in his chair.
It gives me great pleasure to announce the new All-American Soapbox Derby Association champion is Justin Yoder.
His team embraces him as he accepts a trophy. He lifts the trophy up. Teresa looks to Bill and he smiles. Vic beams as he raises his arms in the air. At night, in the Yoder's driveway, Myron plays basketball with Seth.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, Dad. We can take it a little easier if you want.
Yeah. Don't be sorry for me. I'm only 5 points down.
Hey, hello! What is that? Come on, it's garbage.
All right, 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3.
All right.
In the boys' room, Justin smiles through the window at them. He glances at Seth's trophy wall as he heads to his shelf on the other wall. The All-American Soapbox Derby trophy sits atop it with Justin's name engraved on the plate. In his daydream, Justin grins at God.
Hi.
God closes the race car's hood.
Hello, Justin.
I came to say thanks. Great plan.
You're welcome.
And to ask one more question.
Shoot.
I have to know. When people get to heaven, are they, you know, perfect?
Would you like to see?
Sure.
God smirks and walks to a big metal gate. Justin admires it. God pulls on a retractable keychain and unlocks the gate. As the gates open, bright light radiates out. Multitudes of angels in wheelchairs fly around in a cloudy sky. Justin smiles serenely.
Perfect.
Fade to black. Video of the real Justin Yoder plays. Next to trophies, he holds up 3 fingers. Text appears. Because of Justin's success, national service clubs have pledged to help disabled and economically disadvantaged children compete in soapbox derby events. Justin holds a brake lever. The brake that allows children with disabilities to participate has come to be known as the Justin Brake. He raises a fist. Justin Ross Yoder may have been the first derby racer with a disability to drive solo, but he will not be the last. Fade to black. Audio description funded by Walt Disney Studios. Voiced by Julian Smith.